it's customary by us back in Windmere, and not just in Windmere, but all over the world, that Moitzei Shabbos is not a very unique zman. It's a zman for Sipuri Tzaddikim, telling stories about all Tzaddikim, about Befrat, the Baal Shem Tov, and the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. Chaim Vital writes that Sipuri Tzaddikim is a bechin of Ma'aser Merkava. We spoke about Friday night. It kind of just fits into that whole yisoid that when the tzaddik becomes a merkava for Kadosh Baruch Hu, so then stories of them is nice merkava, and that's a davar gadol. It's a very big thing, and you could look at the stories of tzaddikim as being, you know, just stories for children. But if you have a deeper perspective, it's such a big lima that it even goes down to the children. That's how it is. L'mata me'aser ha'tzvachim. And for that reason, since Malava Malka is a hemshech of Shabbos, and it's the culmination, the tachas of Shabbos, so really the Sipur Tzaddikim is a dugma, is the, what we were striving for, what we were coming to be able to tell stories of Tzaddikim. It's a totally different way of looking at things. So back in when we have Motzi Shabbos, we have Malava Malka, similar to this, nice crowd, sushi and types of treats. And we sing zmiras and we tell stories of tzaddikim. So we usually pick one tzaddik, and we tell stories from that tzaddik's life. So this week in Yetz Hashem, Beis Shvat, will be the yortzeit of a very famous rabbi, the Rebbe Reb Zusha. And so we don't have enough time to tell a lot of stories. You know, it's a very big section in this sefer, and it probably have to be a two-part series. Speaking about him again next Motzei Shabbos in Mitzvah Hashem. But we have a lot of stories about the Rebbe of Zusha. Many, many stories about the Rebbe of Zusha. And we don't have a lot of teachings from the Rebbe of Zusha. Many, many more stories than we have Torahs from Reb Zusha. The Chiddush HaRim said that from the teachings which we have from Reb Zusha, you could see he was a Gevalda Talmud Chacham. That's what he said. And what's interesting is that the Rebbe of Zusha, he made himself to not know anything, and he was a Batznei Aleches, and he lived behind the Tanur. All the stories of Zusha behind the Tanur, that's where I always could find him. But he made himself to not know anything. And he had a very interesting derech in Avodas Hashem, but in Leiman HaTorah it's very, very unique, and we'll see some stories about that. And I think it was the Tzanzer Rav, and he made such a comment that all the tzaddikim, b'derech klal, b'talmidei Baal Shem Tov, they came to their godless through Leiman HaTorah. Except two tzaddikim. Who was that? The Rebbe Reb Zusha and Rav Tzvi Hirsch Mevinov. That's what he said. But they had a very, they went like b'machteres. It's hard to explain the whole thing, al derech galachas, but they were zeichet to tremendous godless in a very, very unique way. So you know, the Rebbe Reb Zusha was the brother of the Noam Elimelech, which is a, imagines like a shutfus like this, and they went into galus for many years together, and they were very close. The first hiskarvis to the Rebbe Reb Zusha, to the Magid, was it preceded the hiskarvis of the Noam Elimelech to the Rebbe Reb Zusha, the hiskarvis of the Noam Elimelech to the Magid from Mezrich. Just that you understand how it breaks down, there was of course the Baal Shem Tov himself, and his successor was the Magid from Mezrich, and many of the tzaddikim we are all familiar with, the Kedushas Levi, and other great, great tzaddikim, Balatanya, the Reb Zusha, and that whole Heichal, the Kuznetzer Magid, and Vayter. So that was the heyday of Chassidus. And the Reb Zusha was makar himself to the Magid from Mezrich, and he schlepped along at one point the Rebbe Melech. So how did that happen? The Rebbe Melech was a fine Talmud Chacham and a tzaddik even before coming to the Magid from Mezrich. He didn't, you know, he worked on making big Talmud Chacham into being great, great, giant tzaddikim. But the Hiskarvis was as follows. The Rebbe from Chernobyl tells this over, the current one it seems. That the Rebbe Zusha was at a certain simcha, together with the Rebbe Remelech. And he was already a chassid and a talmid of the Magid from Mezrich. And when it came time to eat, so it wasn't like today, like you place an order at the restaurant down the block. And they would take out, you know, the challah, the shchipa knife, and they would, you know, shecht it and prepare the food, fresh. And so they brought the knife that Rebbe Zusha should look at it. And At first, the name of the Melech, and he looked at and examined the knife, and he said, "Yeah, it looks good to me. It looks good." We've had this over to Reb Zusha. He says, "Nah, it's not a good knife. Send it back to the person who's fixing it. You should make sure it's not good yet." Okay, so they sent it back. Wasn't good enough for Reb Zusha. So the Melech wasn't going to have. So they bring it back, and Reb Zusha looks at the knife and he goes, "Yeah, this is good now." Naaman the Melech looks at the knife and he says, "Nah, it's not good." So Naaman the Melech, he didn't understand. He says, he thought he knew the halachas and he looked at it and everything seemed fine. So he asked the Rebbe Reb Zusha, what are your standards? So he said that for it to be a kosher shechita knife, when I look at it, I have to see the Shem Havai on the knife. If I don't see the Shem Havai, it's not good for me. So Naaman the Melech was astounded by such teretz. And he says, "So, if you see havayas on your knife, I want to see havayas too." So he says, "Okay, you want to learn? Come." So he took him into a room and he started to teach him. And some time later, he says, "Okay, where do we go to learn more about this?" He said, "We're going to Mezrich." That's when he ended up in Mezrich. But the tzaddikah bechlal, they had hadrach and many things which they did, which they do, when they see the Shem Havai in front of them. People think that, you know, they're hated, Mishabura quotes it, to see the Shem Havaya, to school of Yerushalayim. Now, the Rebbe Ramelech writes himself that the pshat is not that a person has to work on seeing the Shem Havaya, like he's working on seeing the letters, you know, to see those letters in front of him. When a person becomes tzaddik enough, then the letters appear in front of him. I asked my Rebbe once, I said, what are you thinking about when you're dancing at the Tchasanas? What are you involved in? He says, "I don't know, I'm just watching the Shem Havaya." He said, "Okay, that's good." That's, yeah. Tzaddikim, their whole halicha is that we find this in the Zayir by Yaakov Avinu and many tzaddikim, like, if they had questions and they had, like, this way or that way, so they knew where to go when they saw the Shem Havaya. That's a good clue. Yeah? When they saw the Shem Havaya, so they saw that was the mahalach of life. It's really not just a skula, but it's a real... It's a limit in pnimius that if a person wants to do l'shem havaya, if he wants to do it l'shem shemayim, then he has to yatza l'shem. That's really the aim of it. Speaking about the limit of the Rebbe Reb Zusha, so he was a yasam at a very young age, and he didn't have anybody to teach him. He was very poor most of his life. Didn't care, but he was very poor. And he said about himself that when he would have difficulties in learning, he had an eitzah for it, because he didn't have a Rebbe. He would cry to the Rebbeinu Shlom to Nokshah. There's many stories like this about the Rebbe Zusha. He would cry. And then the Baal Mamre himself would come and teach him Shah. So if he had a Shver Rashi, he would cry about the Rashi, and Rashi would come and teach him Shah. If he had a Shver Rambam, he would cry about the Rambam, and the Rambam would come and teach him Pshat. So he didn't have a Rebbe, but he found an Eitzah that anybody he was learning, he was learning direct. He was learning direct. It's well known, it's a very, very story, the Piazetzna quotes it. He says that when the Magid and the Talmidim were gathered around to hear Divrei Torah from the Magid, you know, it was like Maimon Har Sinai when the Magid would teach Torah. And as soon as he would open up his mouth and the Rebbe Reb Zusha was in the room, he would start to go crazy, like in such a dveikus that he would be making mashuna to go tnuos, and it was like a disruption for the oilim. So whenever the Magid would start to say Torah, they would like throw him out of the room. But they found out that as soon as the Magid finished the Torah, the Rebbe Reb Zusha knew the entire Torah outside of the room. He knew it. He didn't have to hear anything. In the outside room, he knew the whole Torah. So the Magid explained, because he couldn't understand it, that as soon as I open my mouth and the portal is open from Shemayim to be able to give me the Torah, these rabbis, they didn't just say Torah. They opened the portals, and then whatever Torah came down is what they were saying. They didn't prepare Torah, many of them. When the Rishus was given to say a Torah, so then it came down. But he said, but the Rebbe Reb Zusha is at the Pesach of the Heichal. So as soon as the Heichal comes down to me, he already understands the Torah, and he sees the light at the end of the tunnel. He knows what I'm going to say already. The reason why he's going crazy is because he received the entire Torah in its entirety, just like I did. So the Magid brought it down, but the Rebbe Reb Zusha was there. He was here when it opened. A very similar maaseh to that was once the Balatanya, when he was in Medrash, so the Magid told him that I'm asking you to know the Balatanya was the Ish Halacha, he was Aman Ha'ira. He was the go-to for the Maggid in order to be Mavar, very deep in Yonim and Halacha. He was the one who put him up to write in the Shulchan Aruch Rav. So he told him that he wanted to be Mavar, you know, all the inyana when it came to Stam and to Hilchos Tefillin and to writing it and the Ksav and Bechuli, all the details involved in Hilchos Tefillin. The Balatanya said that he toiled in this endeavor for 4 weeks until finally he came to proper maskanas and he came to the Maggid from Temedrash and he presented his case and what his conclusions and his maskanas, and the Maggid was very happy about that. On his way home, Balatanya, after spending these weeks in Mezrich, so he would pass through the city of Anapoli, which is where Reb Zusha lived, and there was a Sefer Stam there who was also from the cheder of the Maggid, and he always enjoyed schmoozing with this Sefer Stam. And that was one of his first stops when he came to the city. But the Balatani was very tired, and he called it a night as soon as he came to the town, and that was actually on the night of Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which is Habalin Latoiva. And the Sefer Stam also, you usually would come to see the Balatanya, but he was mixed up in something and he didn't get over there right away. So in the morning, so the Balatanya woke up and they bumped into each other and the Sefer apologized and he says, I'm so sorry that I didn't make it over, but the Rebbe Reb Zusha needed me urgently. What did he need you for? He says that I see that the Magen Shem Ezech is about to put on a new tour of Tefillin and I needed to be prepared by Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So I need your services right away that you should prepare me a new tefillin. So he went over the details of the Balatanya, and exactly what the Balatanya had told over to the Maggid, the Rebbe Reb Zusha was Makabel from Shemayim, and he already had instructed the Sefer to make tefillin like that. He says, it couldn't be. Bechlal, the Balatanya had a tremendous, tremendous haracha for the Rebbe Reb Zusha. He sent a special shliach to the Rebbe Reb Zusha to write a haskama in the Sefer Tanya. You could see it. But how does it go? It says that they say a ma'aseh that the Rebbe Reb Zusha, that he was every time he would write a haskama, he would throw it out. He said there wasn't enough pen and there wasn't enough.
More paper.
He says he couldn't even write a haskama. He put it into words somehow. But he said that to write a haskama on such a sefer, to talk about it, it was such a giloy and such a matana min hashamayim that it was ein sof what you could say about the sefer of Tanya. The Maggid in his later years, he was very weak. His whole life he was very weak, and he was crippled, and he was very much handicapped. And he started to take upon himself tinius and sigufim in the end of his life, and all the Talmidim were very disturbed by that. They were worried about his health. So they wanted to send somebody in to try to convince him out of it. So the Rebbe Reb Zusha was one of the older chassidim. He was one of the oldest, you know, statesmen in that chabura. So they told the Rebbe Reb Zusha, why don't you go in and tell the Maggid that, you know, we're concerned and he should stop doing it. He goes in, presents his case, and the Maggid says to him, he says, what are you coming in and telling me about this? You fast more than I do. It's kosher shuk shu, like the Gemara says. You work on your stuff and I'll work on my stuff. How could you come in and tell me about tainus and segufim? So the Rebbe Reb Zusha said, fine. The Maggid said, if you makabal upon yourself every single day, he said, not every single day, and he said, called it a yom de pigra, which means like on a unique day on the Jewish calendar to eat, I'll stop my tainus. And the Rebbe Reb Zusha accepted. So it happened to be a certain yom de pigra, doesn't say what day it was, and he was in the Beis Medrash, which is near the house of the Maggid. So he came into the house of the Maggid, and the Rebbetzin was there, and he said, you know, your husband, he told me to eat on Yom HaTepigra. I don't have anywhere else to go. Would you mind preparing me a meal? So she said, I don't have anything in the house. I'll run to the market, and I'll get some food for you. So she said, but I have, you know, these young children at home. Will you watch the children while I go to the market? She said, sure. So there was a baby in the cradle, and the Rebbe Vazusha, he looked for a sefer which is out there, and he found the sefer Hashlah, and he was rocking the cradle while he was learning the sefer Hashlah. At one point, though, he was so involved in the learning that the baby fell out of the carriage and was crying, and he was going like this. He was still, you know, going like this to the carriage, and the baby was outside the carriage, the stroller, whatever it was. And the Shlah himself came and took the baby. He didn't want the Reb Zusha to stop his learning the sefer, so the Shlah himself came and took the baby and put it inside the carriage. So who told over this ma'isa? The Devechai and the Tzanzorah told over this ma'isa, because when he made a shidduch, with a matzalah from Harnas Taipel. So they know the midig by tzedikim is that by the tanoim they talk about their, you know, their yichus, and they go all the way back, and it's a whole maimed. So when the Harnas Taipel told over, he had yichus from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and the Baal HaTanya. As soon as he said the words, "I come from the Rebbe Reb Zusha," the Rebbe Chaim said, "That's enough. Don't say anything more." He says, "Why?" And he told him over the smite. He says, "If the Shlom himself came to take care of the baby, so Reb Zusha should learn, you don't have to go any further." Reb Zusha, that's good. So Adkan. Now, the Rebbe Reb Shmelka, he was one of the early Talmidim of the Maggid, a contemporary almost of the Maggid. And he had a very famous brother, who was the brother of the Rebbe Reb Shmelka.
Daflo.
It was the Rebbe Chassam Sofer, one of the Rebbe's. So when they first came to the Maggid from Mezrich, they, like many tzaddikim who tested the tzaddikim, you know, they came with a very, you know, they wanted to see that they were lamdan, and they didn't think that the chassidim knew how to learn. So they would come with a hard kasha, a shver rambam. So they came with a shver rambam to the Maggid from Mezrich. And like we said, the Maggid was very weak, and especially at the time which they came, the Maggid said, "I don't have the koyches to answer. I'll send you to my Talmud. I have a Talmud, you know, Zusha. Go to Zusha and he'll answer the question." And the Baal HaTanya was there. He was watching the whole thing. And they go and they find the Rebbe Reb Zusha. He's behind the Tanner. And he says, what brings you here? The Maggid sent us. Okay, what does he want from me? He says that we should ask you this question on the Shrei Rambam. He says, you could try. So, okay, what's the question? So they present the Rambam. And the Baal HaTanya is there, and he followed them to see what would happen. So it's the Rebbe Reb Zusha. He says, I see that you're not learning the Rambam Keseder, because if you looked at a Rambam before that, you would have seen that it's not a kasha at all. You just got into the sugya and looked at the Rambam. But if you learned the Rambam Al Haseder, you would see that the Rambam himself answers the question, that this is really what's going on over here. And they chazed the inyan, and they looked at it, and they saw that he was mamash right. So the Baal HaTanya went back to report what happened to the Maggid. The Maggid said, so what happened with the Rebbe Reb Zusha? Did he answer the questions? He says, yeah, as soon as they asked the question, he said, they have to look at that Rambam, and everything was resolved. But tell me, said the Maggid. He says, did he answer the question right away? Did he flinch? So the Baal HaTanya said, you know, Rebbe, I'm thinking about it now. When they asked the question, he closed his eyes, and he took a smike from the lulka, and then he answered the question. He says, if that's the case, he must not be feeling well. He should have a refuah shleim, but he should be feeling, yeah, refuah shleim. It's an amazing story. It's hard to believe, if not for the fact that the Kamarna himself writes the story in Hechel Bracha. He said he heard it from his father-in-law, who heard it from Reb Zusha. It was going back hundreds of years ago. It's almost like hearing it from the mouth of Reb Zusha. He said that when he lived in Austria, and he was very poor, so he had an inyan that he would fast 2-3 days, and then when he got hungry, he would knock on a balabas's door and ask for some bread. And then he thought to himself, I don't know if this is like proper bitachin in hishtalus to do that. If I'm supposed to eat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send me food. Like Ayin, Ayin Adi Melech Parshas Bahar, right? You got a Torah from Reb Zusha. B'chi soima. He felt he was b'chi soima. So he decided that, you know, 2-3 days will go by and he's not going to ask anybody. If he's worthy enough to eat, then Hashem will send him what to eat. So 2-3 days go by, and the Rebbe Reb Zusha, he's not knocking, but nobody's coming to him. And it created a whole rash in Shemayim. What are we going to do for the Rebbe Reb Zusha? The Rebbe Reb Zusha is starving. And they were looking for a shliach to bring food to the Rebbe, but in Shemayim, they didn't find anybody who was roi to be matzil the Rebbe Reb Zusha. That was the problem. They couldn't find the shliach for the job. So what was the Eitzah? The Eitzah was that a Kodesh Baruch Hu made a nes, that in his mouth he made like 2 channels, one of chalav and one of dvash. He put it in his mouth. And the Rebbe Reb Zusha said, I went 3 months like this, I didn't need to eat anything. As soon as I was hungry, out of my mouth would come a little bit of chalav and a little bit of dvash, like Eretz Yisrael. He was Bechinas Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Avas Chalav Dvash, that's a shtickel hezber. And he was zeichet in that way to a nace like that for 3 months he went on. Until one day he passed a certain yid in the street and he said, Rebbe, Zusha, here's some money, go buy something to eat. And as soon as that happened, he lost the nace. It was the last one. We met the Min HaShemayim, that was it. That was it. He had three months on that darga, but after 3 months, it was taken away. They found the proper shliach to be able to help our position. There was a butcher in town, and the Rebbe Reb Zusha would come on Erev Shabbos, and he would ask him for Tzarchei Shabbos if he would provide for him. And on the condition, though, that he told Reb Zusha, that Reb Zusha said, if you're mate to me and you help me out on Erev Shabbos, I'll tell you which of your animals, before you shech them, which ones are kosher and which ones are treif. Thought it was a good deal. So he went into that asik with the Rebbe Reb Zusha, and this went on for some time. That the Rebbe Bezusha would look at the cows and he would say, kosher treif, kosher treif. And he saved him the tircha and the money involved, and it was a great shusvis. Then he decided one day, he says, oh, why don't I just ask Rebbe Bezusha how to do it? The Rebbe Bezusha will teach me, you know, how this trade. And I won't have to. And he says, I'll pay him a lot of money, and I'll know the trade, and he'll be set. The Rebbe Bezusha said, okay, fine. So the Rebbe Bezusha, he pushed it off a little bit, and he saw that maybe he was reneging on the deal, and then he finally cornered him and he said, Rebbe, teach me. He says, okay, fine. He goes to the guy's house. He says, can you please prepare for me a very hot pot of water? We need a hot pot of water for this. He says, sure, Rebbe. So he prepares a boiling hot pot of water. So the Rebbe Zusha says, now stick your hand in the water. He says, no way, I'm not sticking my hand in the water. So if you're not willing to stick your hand in the water, then you're not ready to learn the sword. Understand the Maisa? He didn't have a Munas Chacham in the Rebbe Reb Zusha, meaning he was only going to get from Rebbe Reb Zusha if he had a Mun in the Tzadik. But because he wasn't ready to be Nichnas into that, if the Rebbe tells you, stick your hand in the fire, you just stick your hand in the fire. Just a couple more. So many beautiful Maisas. Hard to part, but once on one of his travels, he came to a kretschma. Every good maisa has a kretschma, and there were two brothers there, and they saw that his davening and his avodah, and they saw that he was a tzaddik. So they came to discuss with him a certain inyan, a problem in the family. They had a sister who was being lured in by a guy who was like one of the paritzes of the town that she should marry him, and she tried to push it off, and he worked very hard in this shidduch, like Shechem and Dina, so to speak, and she was ready to consent, and they didn't know what to do, and they decided, they told the Bezusha that they were going to take her and throw her into the river. Because rather than have her marry a guy, so they thought they would save her life, Ruchnius, by throwing her into the river. So he didn't want to talk about the Rebbe Zusha. He just gave them a bracha that it should all work out. That night, he woke up at midnight to do Tikkun Chatzais, and he wanted to light a candle. And he tried to light the candle, and every time he tried, it would blow out. Light again, blow out, light again, blow out. And he wondered what's going on. So he had he talked to the Eibishter and he said, how come this is happening? And he said that he heard a baskel which came to him and says, he says, you think that we want tikkun chatzais from a reitzeach? He said, you think we want your tikkun chatzais? So when he heard this, he was mahar b'tshuva, and he realized that he didn't get involved and step in the way that he should have. He was mahar b'tshuva. And he said he was makabel, and in the morning he's going to take care of it. And so as soon as he was makabel, and he did tshuva, he said he lit it, and it lit right away, and the whole tikkun chatzos went perfectly. And in the morning, he went over to the brothers, and he says, Chalila v'chas, you should do something like that. I want to speak to your sister. And he met with the sister, and he convinced her to run away, and to say goodbye to this guy. Years went by, And already the Rebbe Bezusha was much more famous. Again, at that time he was traveling, he wasn't so well known, and they only saw that he was a tzaddik because of the way of his tefillas, but then he became the Rebbe Bezusha like we know him. And there were these children who walked in, and they came for a bechina. Come to the tzaddik, you know, test him on the Mishnayos, whatever they were learning, and he saw that their faces were shining and pure, and that they knew the learning, and he says, who were the parents of these children? And there's a woman behind the door, and she came in, and she says, Do you remember me? You saved my life, and this is the product of what you saved. The Rebbe Bezusha says, children like this, I know why in Shemayim they call me Ritzeach. Ritzeach, it's just Stam Ritzeach. Look what's going to come from this woman. Just Stam. Not that she was Stam either, but... Okay, one last story. Once the Rebbe, Reb Zusha, when he was very poor and he was in Golos, so he came to a Yitz house. It was a big Machnes Areyach. And the Rebbe Zusha, he stayed there for a long time. And there was some type of an article in the home, which was very precious, which was stolen. And they looked around the house and they couldn't find it. And they came to the conclusion that the Rebbe Reb Zusha stole it. And the Rebbe Reb Zusha said, I'm telling you, I'm innocent. I didn't steal it from you. And he said, no, it must have been you. We've spoken to other people. We did our research. You're the Ganav. And the Rebbe Zusha said, please, I'm telling you, it's not me. Let's go tell the Rebbe of the city, this guy said. So he said, okay, I'll come. They goes to the Rav. And the Rav goes over to Reb Zusha, and he takes out like one of these, you know, the Kabbalah Sfarim, and he looks through it, and he says, it's full of names of Hashem. He says, you see these names of Hashem over here? He says, see these names of Hashem? He says, I'm telling you. He says, if you don't return this article back to the owner, I'm going to throw you into the Gehenna. That's what he said there, Rebbe Zusha. I'm going to throw you into the Gehenna, to the Sha'ol Tachtis, Bekoyach Diz Shemes HaKadosh. That's what he said. Rebbe Zusha, he looked at him and he says, oh! He says, if that's the case, he says, I'm telling you right now, he says, I'm more afraid of the love of Naisignav than I am of you and your Shemes and the whole Gehenna. That's what he said. I'm more afraid of the love of Leisignaiv than I am of you and your Shemus and the whole Gehenna. So he saw that the Rebbe said that with such a Kedusha and such a Tahara and such a Tmimus and a Pshita, that he said, this is a Tzaddik. He says, this year is a Tzaddik. And he ended up, and he told the Balabas, he says, you've got the wrong guy. You got the wrong guy. This is the wrong person. You got the wrong person. He said, if he's more afraid of the love of the signals than he is of the Gehenna, you could be sure that he's a very big tzaddik. Very big tzaddik. This the Rebbe of the Baba of a Rebbe, Shlomo told over this story. Another beautiful story. This is just a mix house. We have many, many more stories, even very famous stories, which I'm sure many of you heard. Oid chazen lamoid, schusi yagalini wa koi salam. Amen.